Money and markets, this is tax times, and of course many corporations have earnings report. That means high tensions for all concerned. We know what happened last year on April 15th. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. Reports from the IRS of identity theft, filers grabbing your identity and filing returns to get your tax return or your tax refund. I put the article up on the blog. Very frustrating thing to happen to you at tax time, so beware. There were a number of articles over the last week about doctors who generate significant revenues through Medicare. Beware of these stories and beware of this effort. Medicare is no gravy train. A lot of what you're watching is forcing doctors out of private practice into large corporate institutions where they're much more easily controlled, or they just continue to practice, but they do cash practice. They get off Medicare entirely. Some get off Medicare, some get off insurance company payments. The more these kinds of stories are promoted and people believe them, the harder and harder it's going to make Medicare beneficiaries, Medicare beneficiaries, to get the kind of help they need, except from those who are under very high central control. It's kind of the equivalent of what Yelp is doing to small business, doing to the small independent physicians. Don't fall for it. I'm not saying we can necessarily stop everything that's happening, but the last thing you want to do is buy into it. The Wall Street Journal, the big headline in the Wall Street Journal was about a doctor who billed $21 million to Medicare. I assure you, for a big practice, could have had multiple doctors in it. I didn't read the story carefully. $21 million of revenues is far from $21 million of profits. In fact, you can even have losses with that. So, you know, if you get a chance to talk to an editor of the Wall Street Journal, please ask them to write about where the $4 trillion is that's missing from the U.S. government instead of front page headlines on a doctor who's billed $29 million gross revenues for Medicare. The material omission of saying where the $4 trillion is and how to get it back is profound. A comment from the subscriber on the Heartbleed virus. The commentary is up on the blog about the Heartbleed virus. They read, just as you predicted, things that soak up our time. I said in the annual wrap-up for the last 2 years, please make sure to reserve time for all these kinds of things that are going to waste your time and eat you alive. It's not surprising to me to see a virus that bad impact the service, the servers at this time of year. But it's a reminder of the instability of the internet and the kind of systems we're now relying on. I blew up last week and I said, you know, why is it that American engineers can make a system that can invade the privacy of everybody and everything as they do everything, but they can't make a telephone that works? Quite remarkable. The question, of course, in the Heartbleed virus is who created it and why, and I hope that will emerge over time. But as we go through this period, these things are going to happen so fast and furious, we're not going to have time to figure them all out. The squabble in the Ukraine continues with the Secretary of Defense now meeting with the Chinese. Big danger of the Russians and China drawing closer together. Big energy deals in the works between the Russians and Chinese, and of course, increased trade. Now, if you look at the historic hatred between the Russian and the Chinese, them drawing closer together is easier said than done. One of the big issues between the United States and China, of course, is China's effort to assert jurisdiction over portions of the China Sea. There's no way the United States can tolerate that. It's amazing the percentage of the world trade that flows through that area by ship. And of course, the naval supremacy is, of course, the historical military card of the United States and the person who governs the reserve currency. So expect that to be sensitive, and it's not surprising we see the reallocation of aircraft carriers back out to Asia. If China and Russia continue to draw together, that will make the importance of space weapons continue to grow. So it's not surprising, as I said last week, that NASA is pulling back from cooperation with Russia. I suspect the race for controlling space weaponry is on, and this is only going to turn it into something much fiercer. Sure enough, as I predicted, as Chris Christie is politically sidelined and castigated as a result of a traffic scandal and related criminal investigation, sure enough, we see blossoming of media regarding Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. You heard it here first. I spoke about what was behind the Supreme Court decision last week, but I want to repeat some of my comments because I think it's so important to your understanding of what's happening. The financial coup d'etat is over. $40 trillion has been shifted. Now we see a large number of large corporations who are being asked to execute. And as they look across the landscape, they are finding the operational environment unacceptable. Part of it is the gridlock and sort of chaotic process of Washington. You have too many parties, too many agencies, too many people playing enforcement. The complexity is mind-boggling. The elections are too cumbersome. The failure to get gun control is also very cumbersome. So, and the fear of the Democrats over the elections saying no to all the trade agreements completely bollocks up many of their plans. Government is not operating well in this environment. Disney, you know, this is an example. Disneyland has always been better at manipulating on an economic basis than the Department of Justice and the enforcement bureaucracies. And so you see the corporations looking at what's going on and saying, wait a minute, there are too many messes. This is not the ideal operating environment, and looking to sort of assert adult supervision. And this is all part of the shift from sovereign governments to a world run by corporations. The corporations now have the upper hand in terms of technology, assets, human capital, and you have private investors who are now looking to engineer the next phase of sort of a high-tech world, and they're looking to pull back greater authority into the private investors in the corporate state. Not to say that it hasn't been there, but the metastructure is increasingly frustrated with the government bureaucracies that they've now sort of sucked the assets out of and stuck the liabilities into. The corporations have reason to be afraid. If you look at the sort of battle that's going on right now between G7 and the rest of G20, whether in the Ukraine or around the world, there is an increased need to ensure very smooth collaboration and cooperation between the G7 and the central banks, and they cannot afford to be laughed at or looked laughable. And when that starts to happen, it's dangerous. So that has profound implications for getting what they need in the 2014 and 2016 elections. And I think that's part of what you're seeing with the sidelining of Christie, the Supreme Court decision, and now the sort of blossoming of the Bush and Clinton for 2016 nominees, and clearly Bush for president. It's important to understand if this intuition of mine is correct, that central authority enforced by corporations looks and feels very, very different than central authority enforced by governments. And in one respect, they're going to take much more of a Disney World approach in some respects than government. At the same time, they're much firmer than government. This is going to look like a tsunami. So get out your surfboard and your navigation tools. You do not want to have a fight with this kind of tsunami. At the top are people who are arranging to build a very new high-tech society, go into space in a big way, and keep the dollar and euro working well enough to fund retirement checks and mean-tested subsidies as those are sort of ramped down in the slow burn. And that's keeping hundreds of millions of people in the developed world eating. And so in this kind of environment, what you want to do is focus on reducing your individual household and community red button problem. You want to get to a more sustainable level. What you don't want to do is pick a fight with them in a direct and bold way, because when they move, they're going to move like a hunt knife through butter. So Chris Hedges had a wonderful video up. I put it up on the blog, a speech he gave in Mark about rebellion. And when you listen to it, I really enjoy it because he's so clear about how outrageous many of the things that are going on are. But you understand, if you think back to Gandhi, about the power of not cooperation, you know, refusing to give attention, refusing to give admiration, where we put our transactions, associations, all the things you've heard me talk about in the red button problem in the Solari model response to it. And so we need to individually shift and be part of solutions. And there's a great deal we can accomplish through non-cooperation. But I assure you, if I'm right about the tsunami that's going to roll out, having, you know, using a direct assault, just like the, you know, the militia during the Revolutionary War shot from behind the trees. We need to shoot from behind the trees and not go out on the field and take them on directly. In many respects, Jeb Bush is the perfect frontman for a newly refreshed syndicate of the breakaway civilization of corporate leaders and private investors. But how exactly they were going to present him was something I've been very curious about. And it started last week with an article in the New York Magazine called The Good Bush, where at the same time that we had the, as I said last week, the W come out with the oil paintings and his showing of his paintings of world leaders. So he's kind of soft and cuddly now. They have a New York Magazine had an article sort of doing a trial balloon of the spin that it was the George H.W. Bush was the good Bush and he was really this great patrician and things really worked well. And the funniest thing, if you ever want to read, are all the comments, because of course the people reading were having none of it. And everybody started posting all the great sources to read the real deal on George H.W. Bush. It was pretty funny. Part of this picture of building a sort of more Disney World kind of breakaway civilization reengineering of North America is promoting women. I'm doing a series on the blog, started last week with promoting women part one, this week promoting women part two. I'm going to keep it up. It's going to take probably about six commentaries. There you have it. But as I said, we just in time for the recall, we have a new head of General Motors that's a woman. The new mayor of Paris is a woman. Of course, the woman running the IMF is a woman. And I think as currently scheduled, Clinton will get plenty of airtime as Democratic nominee or likely Democratic nominee as part of this promoting women. At the same time, her profile is nowhere near as good as Jeb Bush's for the 2016 race. And the reality is that the Bushes pay to get Bushes elected, not their allies. So anyway, so be prepared to see a lot more warm and fuzzy faces of women making the whole thing look cooperative and decent. Let's turn to the markets. The first quarter, as I said, was a sideways market. This week, stocks and bonds, you know, in one sense, it was sideways, but all the strong sectors of the stock market are clearly down so far this week and not looking good at all. We are way, way long overdue, years overdue for a 10 to 15% correction. So, and we're also obviously coming in into the period of the year, the summer, when things are slower. So I see there's no way to tell what's going to happen. But again, we're long overdue for a 10 to 15% correction. It's healthy if we get one. Big question, of course, is the last 2 weeks we've seen the emerging market equities pick up. They're a little bit perky. So the question is it time for the trend to turn? We've seen this enormous divergence between the developed world equities and emerging equities. I think the current G7, G20 war does not augur well for the trend chain whatsoever. A good report from Business Intelligence, Business Insider, venture capital funding is nowhere near the levels we saw during the dot-com bubble. It's absolutely not near if you look at the numbers. A lot of money going into venture capital is rising, but certainly not enough to suggest a tech bubble. If you look at where the money's going, the reports I get is it's much more responsible than we saw in 2000. Finally, gold's looking better this week, and the interview with Franklin will talk more about it. There are plenty of signs of hunger for physical that the hunger remains strong. I was driving through Memphis again this week, and sure enough, more signs of teenagers standing out on the road saying, "We buy gold," and pointing you to the local pawn shop. Some of the smart buyers are now picking up good price stuff in the pawn shops, but the pawn shops are definitely trying to suck up as much gold as they possibly can. An interesting story in the blog about underwater drones that have successfully found a 16th century Portuguese vessel, which is expected to have a very significant hold of gold on it. And it's a very interesting story, but it reminds you, with drone technology now, it may be easier to get gold from buried treasure than for mining. Very interesting. Check it out. Finally, one other thing I really want you to check out on the blog. I normally don't cover much about social media, but there were several links on Facebook and Google's effort and sort of planning and thinking about, and